If you're new to our church, I do want to kind of let you in on what the heart of our church is, what the win of our church is. Last night, we saw the Dallas Stars. They knew what they needed to do to get the win. They put up four. Oh, we have like no hockey fans in this church. It's hilarious. Okay, two. So, go Stars. Beat the other team, whoever they are, because you don't even know hockey teams. But we when you follow sports or you follow a spelling bee at your kid's school, how do you do a spelling bee? Is it online now? Do you just zoom in and... When you go to your kid's ballet recital or whatever, like, you know what the win is. Man, I want my kid to do better than your kid. You know, I want my team to do better than your team. But when we go to church, we come to church, we sing a song, we throw money in the hat, we drive to our minivan, we walk to our minivan, and we look at each other like, did our team win today? Or did we just do church? So about 5 years ago, we prayed and we made it clear what the win of our church is. And the win of Uncommon Church is when people that don't know God repent of their sin and make Jesus the Lord of their life, either for the first time or the first time in a long time. Salvation is our win, and everything we do supports that win. Amen? So that, if you were kind of wondering what we're all about, that's what we're all about. But 2020 was extremely difficult. And we had a vision. If you're wondering what this little wall is over here, there's 300 light sockets. And every time somebody gave their heart to Jesus for the first time, or they're returning to the Lord, they would pray with one of our prayer team after service, and we'd give them a little LED light bulb, and they'd write their name on it with a Sharpie, and they'd walk over there and screw it in. And we were believing God for 300 people to get born again. I don't know. I haven't counted lately, but I don't even think there's 100 light bulbs screwed in because of the COVID. Now, we have had a lot of people following us online and, you know, following our services and sending in, you know, prayer requests and, hey, I gave my heart to Jesus, and we've digitally screwed in a few light bulbs for people. Hey, by the way, in first service, 3 people gave their heart to Jesus, came down to the altar, got a light bulb, and screwed it in. Oh! It was the funnest day ever. Love what we do at our church. Anyway, about a month ago, Josie and I were in prayer. And we were praying because it was like, hey, I think I see the end of the COVID tunnel. I think I see what's next for our church. So we wanted to pray and ask the Lord what he wanted to do next in our church. And we felt like maybe we needed to make a temporary change to our win in order for us to win big afterwards. And I was trying to, you know, explain that to Josie after we prayed. And she said, I don't know that it's like we change our win, but it's kind of like a team that's prepping for a big game or prepping for the Super Bowl. Like, you take some time and you pull back and you go over your playbook and you really go to the gym and you work hard and you really watch what you eat and you really train super hard so that when you do go back to competing, you go big or you go home and you really dig in deep, because you want to win. So it's not that we're changing our win, it's that we want to win big, so we're going to like make some changes. So about a month ago, we started praying into what this change would be. And I felt like the Lord was calling our church to go deeper, dig deeper. And when I say dig deeper, think of like a miner who's digging for gold. And they've got to get all the rocks and all the dirt and all the stuff out of the way so that they can dig down to the gold. Or maybe they're drilling wells. And you're drilling for oil out in West Texas, or you're drilling for water. And it's like you dig and you dig and you dig, and then you get a little trickle. We found a little gold. We found a little water. We found a little oil. And we're like, yes, yes, we did it. And then it's like, but I wonder if there's more if we keep digging. When I prayed, I know this is going to sound flaky and super spiritual, but I felt like the number 3 had something to do with it, but I didn't quite know what it was. If it was something we do for 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months. But I just knew 3 had something to do with it. Now, in my mind, every January, our church takes 3 weeks, 21 days, and we fast and we pray for the upcoming year. Now, I know we did it in January of 2020, but clearly we did something wrong because some of y'all weren't fasting. So, because we broke 2020. And I, when the Lord put 3 on my heart, I assumed he was setting me up for January. Because in January, we'll take 3 weeks, and we'll fast and pray for 2021. But then as I begin to chew on it, I felt like it was something sooner, something different, something deeper. And as I talked about last week, something radical. So today is nothing but a big announcement of an upcoming event that we're going to do here at the church. But because I'm a preacher and you're all here and you all smiling and ready for church, I'm going to make it biblical and explain to you why we're about to do what we're about to do. And when I say I think there's more, if we dig a little deeper, I feel like I don't want to put down what God is already doing. I think Uncommon Church is good. I think Uncommon Church is really good. Our church is healthy. Our church is happy. Our church is growing. We grew through COVID. Is that bananas or what? How do you grow through a virus? We've got people serving. We've got people in groups. We've got, you know, we're pressing in for the power and presence of good, of God. Our church is good. But listen, never settle for good when great is right around the corner. When you can reach a little further and grab a hold of a great marriage, a great education, a great health in your body. Like, don't settle for good when great is just within reach. Because good is the enemy of great. Imagine if Lewis and Clark were exploring this country and they got to the edge of the Mississippi River and they're like, this is good. And they never looked beyond the river and thought, man, I wonder if there's gold out in California. You know, like, I wonder if there's a Grand Canyon in what we'll futurely call Arizona. Like, they looked beyond and they went a little deeper. They pressed a little further. There had to be more. Imagine if NASA was like, hey, we want to go to space. So they take a space shuttle or a spaceship up to the very edge of our atmosphere. And they take a cool picture of the curvature of the Earth. And they're like, that's a good picture. And then they come back to the Earth and say, that's it. They never explored the greatness of going around the moon and landing on the moon and sending rovers to Mars. I mean, like, how many of you have eaten at your favorite restaurant and you've eaten your favorite thing? Did you only eat there once? No, of course not. You go back again and again and again, because once you've tasted of your favorite thing at your favorite restaurant, you know there's always going to be more, so you just keep going back for more. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So once you get a taste of the Lord and of his goodness and of his power and of his presence, you're like, crud, that was good. I wonder if I go back if there's more. Yes, there's more. Keep digging, keep pressing, keep reaching. There's always, always more of God's power and his presence. Psalm 85, 6 says, Lord, won't you revive us again so that the people of Uncommon Church can rejoice in you? Show the mid-cities your unfailing love, O Lord. Grant us your salvation. Revive us. Send revival to our church. Send revival to the mid-cities. Send revival to the nations. And Lord, let it start with me. I want to be revived. I want to experience more of your love. I want to rejoice in the Lord. And in our church, I want to see more salvations. I want to see more people coming to Jesus. I want to see more light bulbs screwed in. And verse 7, Lord, show us your unfailing love. Sometimes our love for the Lord fails, right? His love never fails. Which reminds me, when I was writing this out this week, of Acts chapter 3. The Bible says that there's seasons, there's times of refreshing for the people of God. Acts 3, 19, repent of your sins, turn to God so that your sins can be wiped away. If you're here this morning and you've never heard a verse like that, he's saying repent of your sin and turn your life over to God, and he'll take your sin and he'll remove it as far as the east is from the west. He'll take you from being a sinner and call you a saint, from being an orphan and he'll call you part of the family, a child of the Most High God, from being a sinner to being holy. He removes our sin. And if we do that, look at verse 20, then a time of refreshing, a season of refreshing will come. Where does it come from? From the presence of the Lord. Don't you want a time of refreshing to come from God's presence? How do we get there? Repentance, turning to God, seeking him, pressing in for more. That's the trigger. That's the turning point, the tipping point for more of God's power and presence to refresh us is when we repent of our sin. So last Sunday, I spent the whole 30 minutes talking about repentance. I read you the stories in red letters in your Bible of where Jesus taught us how to deal with sin in our life. He said, if your eyes are causing you to sin, take an ice pick and get in there and just gouge them out and just pull your eyeballs out, because you don't want your eyes to send you to hell. If your hands are causing you to sin, bro, Jesus said this, radical, cut your hands off, because you don't want one little part of your body to send you to hell. It'd be better to go to heaven with a missing an eyeball or missing a hand. Now, if you're new to Jesus stuff, that was hyperbole. Jesus and the church are not crazy. He was just trying to make a point by using a radical exaggeration, saying, get extreme in your commitment to holiness. Get extreme in your devotion to repentance and removing sin from your life. So we all did that. My 72-year-old mom called me Sunday afternoon, like, she's been saved for 1,000 years. And she's like, why did you make me repent so much? I was just crying and asking God. I'm like, how, you never sin. How, what are you repenting of? But for those of you that were either here Wednesday night or you watched online, what did God do Wednesday night? We were refreshed by the presence of God up in this joint. Man, it was thick. The presence of God was thick in this place. At 8:01, I got up here and I'm like, hey, thank you guys for coming to pray. Thanks for joining online. I just want to dismiss everybody. And like the worship team and like there's about 60 people here were like, nope. I dismissed the prayer service and zero people left. 40 minutes later, our 1 hour prayer service went into an hour and 40 minutes. The only thing I could think of was my daughter, who's one of our worship leaders, has homework. So we've got to shut this thing down so she doesn't get another zero in calculus. Shots fired at my daughter. There she is. I'm not saying she's had 4 zeros this semester. I'm just saying I didn't want a fifth one. Oh, Dad, I just forgot to do my homework. Well, she remembered Wednesday night because the presence of God was so thick. I mean, like nobody left. All right. Flip over to Joel chapter 1. Let me talk about the prophet Joel. We're not 100% sure when Joel wrote these things down, but we can tell it was during a very dark time in Israel's history. There's two schools of thought. One, it was when the people of Israel had been kicked out of the land of Israel and they were living in Assyria or Babylon, and it was a dark time for the Jews. Or most biblical historians think it was after some Jews returned to Jerusalem. Think like time of Nehemiah, they're rebuilding the walls. They're trying to rebuild Jerusalem. They're gonna rebuild the temple so that they can start worshiping again. And the prophet Joel has some very strong words for the people of Israel. Verse 13, dress yourselves in burlap. That sounds itchy. Weep, you that are priests. Wail, you that serve before the altar. Come and spend the night in burlap, you that are ministers of the Lord. Announce a time of fasting. Call the people of Uncommon Church together for a solemn meeting. Bring the leaders and all the people of the land to the house of the Lord and cry out to God from there. You that have been saved for more than 10 minutes know what I'm fixing to announce. I want to point out a few things from the book of Joel that line up with Acts. Repentance was the trigger for God's presence. Prayer and seeking the Lord was the key that unlocked more of God in the church. And did you notice it said in verse 13, spend the night in burlap. What the Lord was saying through Joel was, listen, y'all, We have been way too comfortable. We need to be uncomfortable for a season as we seek the Lord. We need to fast. We need to not eat the food that we want to eat, to be uncomfortable as we seek the Lord. Bring everybody to the house of God and cry out to the Lord. Joel repeats it in Joel chapter 2, verse 12. This is why the Lord says to Uncommon Church, turn to me now while there is still time. Give me your hearts. Come to me with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Listen to verse 13. Do not tear your clothing in your grief. Instead, tear your hearts wide open. Return to the Lord your God because he is merciful and compassionate. God is slow to get angry. He is filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent. He wants to not punish. So the Lord is saying, turn to me while you still can. And did you notice he says, if you're going to repent, do it in your heart, not in your shirt. And in the Middle East, with Middle Eastern people thousands of years ago, when they would get bad news, when they turned out somebody died, when they had sin in their life and it got exposed, a symbol of their grief and of their repentance would be they would take their shirt and they would rip it open, but then they would pray a prayer of repentance that they memorized as children. So the Lord is saying, bro, I don't care about your empty prayers that you pray from memory and your torn shirt. I'm asking you to tear your heart open in repentance and prayer. Seek me with fasting, with mourning, day and night. This is a solemn assembly. Now that word, solemn assembly, in English we broke it into two, but in Hebrew it's one word. It's atzarah, and it means a moment, a season of restraint. It's only used 11 times in the Bible, and two of them are right here in the book of Joel. So it's a word that's rarely used. So we should pay attention. Often it would be used for times of a season, a week of feasting or fasting, of a festival or a time to cry out to God in brokenness and prayer, a special occasion where everybody in the whole community would gather, and we would either feast and celebrate or we would fast and sacrifice and we cry out to God. And ironically, right now, among the Jewish people, they just celebrated the New Year. And they celebrated it on Friday night, and they welcomed the New Year with sweetness. But at the same time, that kicks off 10 days of repentance, leading up to Yom Kippur, where the Day of Atonement. And that's what we prayed earlier, that in this season leading up to, that the Jews would actually see Jesus as the one, the Messiah that forgives our sin. But it's a special season. It's a special 10 days. So there's this time of soul searching, and what Joel was calling the people to was a season, a sacred assembly of seeking the Lord, of fasting, of prayer, of that burlap, of repentance, of worship, of going after God. And you have to imagine if, in fact, this is when they were rebuilding Jerusalem, that as they were thinking about rebuilding the temple, you know, the sanctuary where they would worship, what Joel was saying through the Holy Spirit was, if we're going to rebuild the future of this church, we need to seek the Lord now in a special way. If we want more of God's power and his presence tomorrow, we need to repent and press in today. Where does this thinking come from? Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Exodus chapter 30. God is giving Moses the plans of how the Jewish people were going to worship, which is the same model that we use today. So we're going back thousands of years. And the Lord said, every morning, Aaron, who was the high priest, he's got to maintain the lamps, and he should burn a fragrant incense on the altar. Just leave that verse up for a second. A fragrant incense. I know this sounds bananas in 2020, but they would have a special fragrant, sweet-smelling mixture that they would literally set on fire and burn in the presence of God in the tabernacle. And it would create this sweet-smelling smoke. And what the Lord's instructions were, 24/7, day and night, I want to see and I want to smell that smoke coming up from the people of Israel. Just remember that. Verse 8. Each evening when he lights the lamp, he must burn that incense in the Lord's presence, and this should be done from generation to generation, day and night, night and day. Let that fire burn. Let that incense burn on the altar before the Lord. It was a special golden altar, a purified altar, because God wanted there to be a sweet-smelling incense in the tabernacle. And if you're new to church stuff, Jesus stuff, Bible stuff, you may be like, bro, big deal. So God wanted an essential oil diffuser in his house. That has nothing to do with me in 2020. Psalm 141, verse 1. Oh Lord, I'm calling out to you. Please hurry. Listen when I cry to you for help. Listen to verse 2. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you. Oh, I should do this for a living. Accept my prayer as incense to you, as my upraised hands as an offering in the evening. Prayer equals incense. The incense of smoke would burn in the presence of the Lord, but it was a symbol of the prayer of God's people that were outside praying. So yeah, God wanted the smoke to go by the priests, but what he was really saying is, I want the prayers to be lifted up in the sanctuary. When we pray, it is a sweet-smelling incense in the nose of the Lord. He loves when we sacrifice ourselves in prayer. He loves when we choose to let our dorm room, our apartment, our house be a house of prayer, that we would lift up prayer. See, prayer is the key to God moving on the earth. It is not a key. So we are the ones that need to seek the Lord. We are the ones that need to press in. Now, again, you might say, listen, I don't know much about Bible stuff, but you're reading me a bunch of Old Testament stuff. Again, has nothing to do with me. Well, let me read you a New Testament portion of Scripture. John had this vision of heaven, and he's like writing down as fast as he can all the stuff he's seeing going on in heaven. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3, another angel with a golden incense burner came and stood at the altar before the Lord. Leave that verse up for a second. See, gold in Scripture always represents holiness, that the gold has been purified. And what John saw was a golden incense burner, a holy incense burner, a pure incense burner. And a great amount of incense was given for him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on this golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense would mix together with the prayers of God's holy people, and it would ascend to God from the altar where the angel was pouring it out. See, John had a vision of heaven, and in that vision, there is a golden, pure, holy incense burner. But what was inside was the prayers of God's holy people. And when you pray, it's being poured out before God. Right now, when you pray, your prayer doesn't fall out of your mouth to the ground. Your prayer is a sweet-smelling incense that's being poured out at the very throne of God. That's why we pray. We're not just hoping. We're not just wishing. Our prayers of faith connect with the very heart of God, and it's a sweet-smelling incense. And that's why when we pray, it should be 24/7. That's why Jesus taught us to pray in John chapter 15. He said, abide in me, and I'm abide in you. He's talking about like a grape branch on a vine. He says, abide in me. Because you know the way a branch can't bear any fruit by itself? It has to be connected to the vine. The same is true with Uncommon Church. You have to abide in the Lord Jesus if you're going to have any fruit in your life. What does abiding look like in 2020? It means abiding in prayer. You pray when you get up in the morning. You pray when you brush your teeth. You pray when you're having breakfast with your kids. You pray when you're driving to work. You pray on your lunch hour. You pray. You abide. Abide, abide, abide. It doesn't mean you pray once for your Big Mac and cheese. It means, I guess Big Macs automatically have cheese. Quarter pounder with cheese. You pray without ceasing. Don't ever let that fire of prayer go out. Leviticus chapter 6, back when the Lord was giving instructions, he said, let the fire on the altar keep burning. Never let it go out. Every morning, the priests are going to put fresh wood, a fresh offering on that fire. Verse 13, remember, Uncommon Church, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It should never go out. So listen for our announcement. We're calling a holy, sacred assembly for 24 hours, 7 days a week, for 21 days of prayer and of fasting, October 7th through October 28th. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to open the sanctuary for 3 weeks straight, 24 hours a day, for worship and prayer. Everybody in our church is going to fast. Everybody's going to take slots of 1 hour, 2 hours. You're going to sign up online. We're going to email you a link to a spreadsheet. You're going to sign up to come to church 4 in the afternoon, 4 in the morning, whatever, and spend an hour in prayer. And our church is going to take these 21 days and press into the Lord for more. We're going to leave the front doors locked, but we're going to open that side door at the end, and it's got a magnetic code. You can type in a 4-digit PIN, and it'll unlock that magnet for you. We're going to change it every couple of days. You're going to have to stay in touch with your email. We're not going to make it public. We're not going to put it on the internet. It's only going to be in an email that comes to you to get the code. And you get the code when you sign up for a slot. Some slots are going to have worship. Some slots will have big worship. Some slots will just have one of our worship team members with a guitar or a keyboard. It'll be very simple, very low key. Most of them won't have live worship. We're going to set up two little speakers here and a Spotify playlist of just background worship music to play. We're not going to turn on all this bananas. And you're going to come and you're going to pray for 1 hour. We're going to set up tables all around here so that we're going to help you. We're going to give you verses. We're going to give you prayer points so it'll give you stuff to pray. You'll be like, I could never pray for an hour. Yes, we're going to have a table that's going to lead you in a prayer of repentance. We're going to have a table where you can take communion. We're going to have a table where you can pray for lost people. On that table, you're going to be able to write the first name of lost people that you're praying for. People in your life, your community, your work, your family members. It doesn't need to be their whole name and the social security number, just a first name. And we're going to put all their names in here. And then the next person that comes behind you is going to pray. And throughout those 3 weeks, we're going to pray for all those lost people to get born again, all those prodigals to return to the Lord. We're going to pray for the upcoming election. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for revival in America. We're going to pray for the nation of Israel. We're going to take 21 days and get out our shovels and put on our burlap. And day and night and night and day, we're going to dig the well a little deeper. We're going to dig from good to great. What are we praying for? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people at Uncommon Church that are called by my name, if we will humble ourselves, if we will pray, if we will seek the face of the Lord, and we turn from our wicked ways, the Lord will hear from heaven. He will forgive us of our sins. He will restore the mid-cities. He will restore Uncommon Church. He will restore the lost people you're praying for. He will restore our nation. Humbling ourselves, wearing that burlap, being uncomfortable, that's going to look like fasting, praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I want you to sign up. Now, here's the thing. This starts in 2 weeks. So we'll send you the email link later this week of the spreadsheet online. Don't just sign up for 1 hour on the first couple days when you're all excited. Why don't you grab a few hours throughout the whole 21 days? And at some point, why don't you grab a 2 a.m. slot? Please, because I told the pastors, whatever slots are unfilled, we're going to fill. So for my sake, grab you a 2 a.m. slot, or me and Jeff going to be up here with sleepies in our eyes. We're going to seek the Lord's face. We're going to seek his presence 24/7, 21. If there's any sin in your life, turn from your sin. Repent. Be holy in this time. Afterwards, we're believing God that he's going to heal our city. He's going to pour out his spirit, his power. He's going to forgive us of our sins. He's going to take the American church that's a smelly, stagnant pool and let the river of God flow through and freshen this place right up. What did we talk about last month? Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. This is an occasion to pray. Be alert and persistent in our prayers for all the believers everywhere. It's like digging a well. It's going to take some time. When you're digging for gold, you got to move millions of tons of rock and granite and garbage out of the way just for a nugget of gold. But we're going to keep digging until we have a breakthrough. Man, I'm so excited to dig with you. I'm so excited to pray for souls to be saved. I'm so excited to see prodigals return to the Lord. I'm so excited to see God move in the mid-cities, in our church and in other churches pour out revival. I'm so excited to see God's hand move in our election. I'm so excited to see God move among the Jewish people, that eyes would be open to see Jesus as Lord. And when we pray for our church, we're going to have a table to pray for our dream teams. We need more people to serve than ever before. We were moving into February, and all of our teams were almost full. But if you'll notice, there's nobody running camera 3 right now. Because there's nobody, we don't have enough volunteers. I was talking to Brittany about kids' church. We're only having like 10 or 15 kids in kids' church down there, but Brittany still needs the full number of all of her team for their safety and protection and ministry to our kids. But she's like, I don't have enough workers. Ever since COVID, my team has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. So we need to pray for more people to serve. Why? Because saved people serve people. Jesus served us by laying down his life. We can stand there with the camera and follow me around. It's a hard job. Samantha's got the hard one today. Camera 1, boy, that'll get you. Watch. Sammy, you do a great job. We need to pray for the finances of this church, because do you remember a year ago, we talked about moving our church into the office building for a year and then gutting this building and getting rid of the ridiculous labyrinth of classrooms and opening up that space for kids' church, nurseries, toddlers' church, and bathrooms that you don't have to walk a mile to get to, and really opening up that foyer to welcome new visitors to our church. We said that was going to take $4 or $5 million. That's Esther, not Sam. The tech team wanted to make sure Esther got the credit. Way to go, Esther. Well, that's going to take $4 or $5 million to knock all these walls down and get in contractors to rebuild it all. But when COVID hit, we're like, oh no, I guess we're not going to remodel the church. And I'm over here like, oh, come on, I want to make room for more. So I want to pray into all these things. I want the Lord's presence to refresh our church. And man, let's say you do sign up for a 2 a.m., right? You're like, what was I thinking? It's like 1:30, you know, your alarm went off. You're like, this is ridiculous. Imagine yourself like a night watchman. You're putting on your little rent-a-cop uniform. You're putting on your little plastic badge. You've got your pepper spray and your nightstick. And you're a watchman coming to protect, you know, like Officer Stowe, who's no longer sitting where he was 20 minutes ago. He's a Euless police officer that works nights. While y'all are sleeping, he's driving around protecting you. We're going to do that in prayer. We're going to do that in the spirit. We're going to be like a watchman. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 6 says, O Euless, Jerusalem, I have posted Uncommon Church as watchmen on your walls. And they're going to pray day and night continually. They'll take no rest, those that pray to the Lord. You might also say, what's the fasting all about? And normally I teach on fasting in January or at the end of December when we do 21 days of fasting. Fasting is just where we're going to kind of symbolically reverse the original sin. God told Adam and Eve, don't eat the apple. And they were like, what'd you say, Lord? And we all do that when we sin and we rebel against God. So if eating got us into this mess, not eating is going to get us out. Repentance is going to get us out. So a basic overview, if you're new, I'll go really quickly through this section. You can find more teaching on fasting if you go to our media page and scroll back about a year. Basically, we're going to deny our flesh. We're going to symbolically put burlap on. We're going to be uncomfortable, and we're going to be hungry. We're going to say no to our stomachs and yes to our spirit. We're going to fast for the 21 days, and there's four main types of fasting. The first is an absolute fast, no food, water, juice. I do not recommend an absolute fast for anybody that takes a daily medication, anybody that is not in exceptional health. Do not complete fast. But if you're in tip-top shape physically, you don't take a daily medication, ask the Lord if he wants you to complete fast. And maybe he'll just ask you to do it every Monday. I don't know. It's your fast. It's between you and God, not you and the church. Talk to the Lord. What kind of fast? The second kind of fast is a selective fast. This is the kind of fast that we almost all do in January. Most would call it a Daniel fast. In the book of Daniel, it's a long story. I don't have time to get into it. It's basically no meat, no sweet, no bread. Just fruit, veg, and nuts. Water, juice, 21 days. That's it. Almost everybody can do that. Now you may be like, I need me a chicken sandwich. No, you can go 21 days without a chicken sandwich. Well, I need a Snickers bar. You can go 21 days without sugar. You can. The third kind of fast is a partial fast. Some might call this the Middle Eastern fast because religious Jews and Muslims during Ramadan fast while the sun is up, which means basically you only have one meal a day in the evening after the sun goes down. Or if you're super led by your stomach like me, it's getting smaller and smaller, isn't it? Last year, this used to be funnier. My wife never thought it was funny. You could get up super early and have an early breakfast before the sun comes up. That's a partial fast. The fourth is a soul fast. If you have a medical condition that you cannot fast under any circumstances, you can fast Facebook. You can fast Instagram. You can fast television. You can fast a hobby. And you take that time that you would have normally spent trolling old high school friends. You would take that time that you would normally spend woodworking or whatever your hobby is, and you spend it in prayer, you spend it in worship, you sign up for an hour slot here at the church, 21 days. That's another kind of fast. I will tell you this, and I'll warn you, because you all follow us on social media. Uncommon Church will be doing a social media fast for 21 days. We're gonna pause all of our social media accounts. You won't get any updates from us. You won't get any information from us. All the staff, all the pastors, we're gonna pause our social media. So when you fast, number one, set your objective. Why am I fasting? You need to get with the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord why you should fast. And in that time, I've already kind of laid out some things that I'm believing God for corporately, but as long as we're fasting and praying, what is God calling you to do personally? What are you asking God to do in your life, in your marriage, in your heart, in your kids, in your finances, in your whatever? So jump on board and put some personal things to this time of fasting and prayer. The second thing is this: what exactly are you committing to? What type of the four kinds of fast are you committing to? And then you need to get some accountability. You need to talk to somebody and say, hey, I'm fasting social media. I'm doing a Daniel fast. That person every day is gonna ask you, hey, did you have a steak today? No, I did not. Okay, good job. So you need accountability. Otherwise, you're gonna fall off the wagon because it's so easy to do so. So that person's gonna help you keep your fast. The third thing is to begin to prepare yourself. There's two kinds of preparation, physical and spiritual. If it's spiritual, leading up to October 7th, man, repent. Ask God for help. Meditate on scriptures. Get some scriptures and write them on a 3x5 card and put them on your mirror at home in the bathroom. Put them in your car. Put them in your cubicle. Put them in your whatever. And then that way these scriptures are going to be what you hold on to while you're fasting and praying for these 21 days. Physical preparation. If you're going to go without sugar, but you're basically freebasing sugar right now, you should probably start to slow down leading up to October 7th, or you're going to be in a sugar coma on October 8th. So start to wean yourself off. Especially if you're going to go liquid only, like just juices and water, you should really slow down your food on like October 5th and 6th leading into the 7th. If you're undoing social media, you should probably just delete the apps from your phone to remove temptation for the 21 days. Disconnect your TV. Unplug, turn off your television package, whatever your fast is. Prepare yourself. The last thing would be get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Expect God to do big things. I think God does little things because we only have faith for little things and we only ask for little things. I think God wants to do big things. So let's ask for big things. Like, let's not limit God. Let's not put a box, the king of the universe, and put him in a box. The Bible says, the Lord says, ask me for the nations as an inheritance. That's a big ask. You got to get you a big old ask. Got to get a hard K on the end of that. Raise your level of expectation. What are you expecting God to do? I'm expecting God to do amazing things on that 22nd day and on into 2021. I'm expecting God to see all those unsaved people born again. I'm expecting God for miracles in this place. Here's the funny thing with a message like this. I'm giving you some head knowledge. I'm giving you some history from Exodus and Leviticus and Joel and Isaiah and all the way to the book of Revelation. But what I'm imparting to you today is not head knowledge. It's heart knowledge. It's a heart connection. Saying, come on, church, let's dig a little deeper. There's got to be more. It's good. I think it could be great. And it doesn't have to do with singing better songs and having better equipment, or it has to do with pursuing the heart of God in repentance and prayer and worship and sacrifice. And here's the thing, we're in God's army and the commander in chief has asked us to serve, but we're also God's bride and he's asked us for intimacy. He's asked us to spend an hour in that love relationship. Revival that we're praying for, it's simply an act of God's love. It's like a tidal wave of the love of God that'll pour out over our city. And what's the end result? Souls being saved, prodigals coming home to the Father's love, strip clubs being shut down because there's nobody there. I was studying this week. In 1904, in a town in Wales, there was a great revival. And tens of thousands of people got born again. The whole city got born again. In that town, there were 11 police officers. So the local newspaper came from Cardiff to write an article about the revival. And the writer thought, I'm going to interview the chief of police. He said, has there been any crime? The officer said, none. We have had nothing to do. So the guy said, so what do you do? He said, four of us help to direct traffic because everybody comes and their horses and their carts and their donkeys. And we try to, you know, wrangle everybody in because the church isn't that big. So we're sort of the parking lot committee. What do the other seven do? Oh, they sing in the men's choir for worship. Come on, Greg, you better start singing. I want to see Euless so born again that the Euless police have nothing to do but sing on our worship team. Come on, somebody. I want to see the lame walk and blind eyes open, and I want to see the dead raised. I want to see the drug addicts set free. I want to see families healed and marriages restored. Can you pray for an hour? Can you spend an hour with the Lord on your lunch break before you go to work in the morning? 3 a.m. Can you spend an hour with the Lord in prayer for our city? See, we cram our lives so full. It's like we don't have any time left over for God. You can't just hope for revival or wish for revival or being interested in revival. There's a price that's got to be paid. And we pay it on our knees, seeking His face. It's like, revival is like one little candle that gets set on fire, and then it just starts to light other candles on fire. And eventually it begins to spread. So if you're looking for revival, just draw a circle around your life and say, Lord, let revival start here. Let revival start in my heart. Let revival start in my family. Because there's got to be more. Hop up on your feet. I want to pray for you. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to begin to ask the Lord what kind of fast you should do, how often you should pray, if you have what it takes to pray for the whole 21 days. Let me also, for those of you that haven't fasted before, amen, look here at me. I know that some people can't stop closing their eyes if I don't say amen. If you commit to, let's say, a Daniel fast, no meat, no sweet, no bread, and on the fourth day, you have a Twinkie on top of a cheeseburger. You're like, oh man, I fell off the wagon. You don't need to call me. You don't need to fill out a Connect card. You just need to say, Lord, I made it 3.5 days. Fell off the wagon. Can you help me get back on for the rest of this 21 days? You just start back over again. There's no shame. Every single Christian that has started a fast has failed and broken the fast. But you don't beat yourself up, because here's what's going to happen. The devil's going to come and say, you weak. You're not wearing burlap. You might as well not show up and pray tonight. You might as well not come to Wednesday night prayer. You might as well not come to church next Sunday. You might as well get high. You might as well get drunk. You might as well look at porn. You might as well sleep with somebody you're not married to. That's not the Lord speaking to you. The Lord is a loving Father. Let me ask you, parents and grandparents, when your kids make a mistake, do you punch them in the face and hold them down and shame them and lock them in? I mean, if you do, talk to me after. I want to introduce you to Officer Stowe and his handcuffs. No. When our kids blow it, we love on them. We pick them up. We teach them a better way. Hey, don't do that again. Let me show you a better way. You see what I'm saying? There's a better way. So when we blow it, and on the 16th day, you do something you shouldn't have done, don't let the devil come lie to you. You just be like, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And you get yourself right back in church and just keep praying. Go to the repentance table and pray the prayer. Read the verses. Amen? All right, now we can pray. Father in heaven, we're going to need some help. For some of us, we've never prayed for an hour. We've never prayed for 21 days. We've never fasted. So we're going to need some help. I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts so we would know how to respond to this call for a solemn assembly. Lord, I pray that you would give us a shovel. Teach us, Lord, how to dig. Lord, teach us how to seek your face. God, we're asking for big things for our lives, for our church, for our city, and for our nation. But God, I'm asking that you do them. Show up big. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to talk to people that might be visiting here today, or you're new to our church, and you're like, crud, you people are swimming in the deep end of the Jesus pool. I was kind of hoping for a kiddie pool to get started. Nah. Just cannonball into the deep end of the pool with us, and we'll teach you how to swim. If there's sin in your life that's separating you from God, today is your day to repent. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. For the first time, or the first time in a long time, you're going to cannonball into God's love and His grace and His power. You're going to go from not walking with the Lord to 21 days of fasting and prayer in October. And it's going to be amazing, and you're going to love it. So if you're here this morning and your heart is beating out of your chest right now, there's sin in your life. You've maybe never prayed, never asked the Lord to forgive you. You've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your heart, the King of your life. Or maybe it's been a while. You walked away from God. You've allowed your heart to grow cold. But today's the day that you want to come running back to the Father's love. I want to lead you in a prayer. Three people prayed this prayer with me in first service. And you know what? We'll all pray with you here in a minute. But I would like to know who I'm praying for. So if you're here this morning and you need to repent of sin, surrender your life to Jesus, and ask Him to be the Lord of your life for the first time, for the first time in a long time, shoot your hand up real high and say, preacher, pray for me. I need to get right with God. I see your hand over there. Is there anybody else? Raise your hand up real high. Come on, somebody. Good. Hey, why don't we do this? For the sake of the one, and I forgot about you online people. What do you say? You ready to stop running from God? You ready to stop living in fear? You ready to stop living in sin? Today is your day to repent and to ask Jesus to be the King of your heart all over again. So for the sake of you, and my ushers just told me there were two. See, I actually lied when I said you should bow your head and close your eyes. The ushers are looking so they can tell me how many people. Now they're saying three. I know we haven't prayed yet, so that's six people in this room, and I don't know how many people watching online, getting right with Jesus today. Come on, somebody! Golly! All right. For the sake of the three and those watching online, let's all pray this prayer together. Pray it out loud. If you believe it in your heart, pray it loud. Say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I repent. I surrender my life to you. Be the Lord of my life, the King of my heart. I receive the gift of eternal life, of your love, of a new covenant with my Father in heaven. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Come on, somebody. I have the best job in the world. Here's what we're going to do. I'd like our prayer team to come. They're going to stand over here, hand sanitized, put a mask on. If you were one of those three, or you're watching at home online, if you're in the room, you can reach into the seat back in front of you and grab that black Connect card and fill it out. If you're watching it online or even here in the room, text the word Jesus to 817-405-2244. You're going to get an auto response form to fill out. Fill that form out, and it's going to go to our care pastor. We're going to begin to pray for you and encourage you in your walk of faith. If you're here this morning and you were one of those three, or maybe you were too chicken to raise your hand, but you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want you to come and pray with one of our prayer team workers. I want them to give you your little light bulb. You're going to write your name on it with a Sharpie and screw it into that Jesus board over there. Hey, if you're watching online right now and you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you know, the same thing happened in first service. I didn't even get to the part where I was like, okay, so you can come pray. They just came like running down, give me a light bulb. And they just ran over there. I need to get right with Jesus. Yeah, come on. So if you're watching online, I want you to do what she just did. I want you to text in right now so that one of our prayer team can fill out your name on a light bulb and go screw it into that wall. Golly, I'm a little emotional today.